Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Monday edition of the Hoosier Report, which means a new week begins here on the program. We do this every weekday at 11 o'clock. You can catch the replay most days at 3 o'clock. And, of course, our podcasts are available on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast as well. Well, Indiana goes on the road. We said it would be a very tough place to play. Arkansas, I think now we can definitely classify as a very solid team in college basketball, but in their first game on the road, IU drops it in a very close contest. I still think, looking back on last week, the big win at home over Marquette, a very tough and competitive road game where Indiana fell behind but was able to retake the lead numerous times, even down the stretch, I still think it was a really good week for this IU team, given their personnel, given the young players that are logging a number of minutes, even more so than we thought they might. Everybody knew Romeo would start. Everybody knew that Romeo would play a lot of minutes. But did you see Robert Phinisee logging as many minutes as he had for this team? I know he was out some with foul problems in the game on Sunday. But I still think a really good week, and I think reason for excitement around this team as they move into the remainder of their November schedule and, of course, early December as well, some big games in the non-conference portion of the schedule. But Indiana, Romeo Langford, tough on the road at a tough place to play. Langford, 22 points, 10 rebounds. I know it wasn't his best shooting night. Understand he's working some on his shot, but getting there, 22 points and 10 rebounds, I don't care. I'll take it any way you can get it on the road in your first road game, and it was in a big environment as a college basketball player. So plenty of good to take away. Obviously, the perfect situation to start the season for IU fans is that Indiana not only blows by Marquette, but goes down to Arkansas and gets a big win on the road and comes back to IU for some games this week and around the Thanksgiving holiday with their stock soaring, not just with fans around the area, but nationally with the media as well. And I still think that that's happening to a great degree. Obviously, a win at Arkansas would have really solidified things, I think, as much as you could possibly hope for any college program to solidify things early this year. But nonetheless, a good game on Sunday, a fun game to watch. And, of course, down the stretch, Robert Phinisee with the basketball takes the last shot of the game for Indiana. Maybe there are some other things you could draw out or like to see happen in that final possession for Indiana. But it is what it is as IU falls in a very, very close game, a real battle for the team down in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Let's take a look at the show lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have our Hoosier headlines, our news of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Today, we'll look at yesterday's game. We'll talk about some of the key moments from the IU contest yesterday and a little high school stuff because I know we're starting off talking about IU and Arkansas, but today is the first official day of high school basketball on the boys' side of things, gearing up for what should be a very competitive and very big season. We'll talk about that some in the headlines as well. As much as I've said it, how great I think the games will be in the area this year, and it's really the shot in the arm that I think the area needs to keep that interest at a high after some great years with Romeo and some really, really good teams in all classes here in Clark and Floyd counties. But some of the preseason rankings came out Sunday, the coaches poll. You've got a lot of local teams either in that top 20 poll, a handful of local teams getting votes that very likely could make an appearance in that poll a couple weeks down the road if they win some of these early season games. But it tells me that others in the state, coaches as well, that voting in this poll, they see this area as very competitive as well. We'll talk some about that coming up here in just a minute. Segment two, joining me today, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall will be with me in place of Zach Osterman. Zach is traveling today and unavailable to be with us, but Alex is going to fill in for a bonus segment today. We'll recap the Arkansas game, talk about some of the big moments, maybe some things that this team we're beginning to see are going to be issues or things to work on. Nothing major, though. Nothing screams out at you like defense and turnovers and some things have in past seasons for this team. But we'll talk about all of that and more with Alex when he's with us here in just a little bit. Then later in the program, Chad Gilbert, the Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSAA Executive Board member, he'll be with me. We'll talk some high school basketball and getting the season started this week with Chad when he joins us. Of course, it's a big time for area teams. You want to get off to a good start. You want to win those first few games of the season and get the 18-19 schedule rolling along as nicely as possible. And we'll talk with Chad Gilbert about that and more when he joins us. We always talk local headlines here in Southern Indiana sports with Chad when he is with us each Monday on the program. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at the Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. A lot of this stuff's going to have to do with the game last night. Indiana had zero ability to stop Daniel Gafford, who was Arkansas's key player. He had 27 points, a game-high 27 points, and most importantly for Arkansas, 19 of those points came in the second half. He had 12 rebounds and 3 block shots. Nice day for him. Indiana was unable to stop him. We talk about defense being improved, and you're not always going to stop a college basketball standout, a college basketball star. They were unable to come close to stopping him, much like Marquette was unable to come close to stopping Romeo and a couple other Hoosiers in the game earlier in the week. But that was obviously the big difference, the big key. Pretty good first half defense on Gafford, but he exploded in the second half. A game on his own home court, very comfortable there, late in his college basketball career. When he scores 19 points in one half, you're going to struggle to beat Arkansas, no question about it. But Indiana, Langford, you know, I've heard some people say, gosh, his shooting is off a little bit. His shooting percentage has not been great. I know he was 6 of 15 yesterday, but he did have a team-high 22 points. He had 10 rebounds, 5 assists as well, in a very close loss. There's a couple ways to look at it. Obviously, Romeo has been really a great shooter throughout his career, so you would be lying to yourself a little bit to say that, hey, you know, he's not shooting the ball as great as what we've seen him do it at the high school level. But there are big changes from high school and AAU basketball. I don't care how competitive your schedule is or who you're playing in the summer, matching up with other top-ranked recruits, there's a huge difference and the defense that's practiced and the way that college teams, in most situations, especially at a high level like Arkansas, play defense, or Marquette for that matter as well. So shooting has not been great for him, but he's still scoring big-time points for a freshman in college basketball. 22 points on the road in his first college basketball game, I think, is pretty impressive. And let's hope that his shooting comes along, because we know when he gets in a groove, he's got a stroke. We've seen him shoot it from deep and be successful on a regular basis. We've seen him be successful from the three-point line, and obviously he's got a great jump shot as well. But let's see if he could get that shooting percentage a little better. How many points could he score? 22 came, I don't want to say effortlessly, in the game yesterday, because there were some moments in the game where he looked like a freshman. He obviously got stopped. He had a couple turnovers back-to-back. By no means was it perfect, but then again, look, he had 22 points. So imagine maybe when he gets a little bit more comfortable and he's a little farther down the road and has a couple road games under his belt, some big college basketball environments under his belt, potentially what he could do. But I thought for his first road game, still very, very early in his freshman year of college basketball, Romeo Langford to lead the team on the road with 22 points and 10 rebounds. And, of course, 5 assists as well shows that he's willing and able to move the ball up the floor and find the open man when he's double-teamed. And that's going to be a key situation because he, if he continues, and he will, I'm sure, to put up these kind of numbers for Indiana, when you get into the conference season and you're getting scouted ridiculously hard, he's going to get double-teamed. There are going to be all kind of things thrown at him. But the good news is he saw it in high school. So his ability to share the ball, to find the open man, to see the floor the way he does, in addition to being a potent scorer, will help him continue to, I think, affect this team in many, many ways beyond just what he puts up in the scoring column. No question about that. Other things that stand out, the pressure defense of Arkansas, definitely something that caused Indiana problems. Indiana turned it over 18 times in the game yesterday. Those 18 turnovers produced 14 points off turnovers for Arkansas. And if you've listened to this show, and this is the case if you read most stories about IU basketball games or follow any other websites out there, turnovers have been a very, very big key statistic, a negative statistic for this team. And one other thing that I've spent a lot of time talking about after some of the losses and some of the bad turnover games in past seasons was not only how many turnovers, but how many points were produced off of the turnovers for the opposing teams. 14 yesterday, hard to beat a team when you've got 18 turnovers and 14 points off of those turnovers. But Indiana still, despite all that, still very close to winning the game. Now, they did get down by 10 points, I think, a couple times in the second half. But even in the 10-9-minute mark, they were able to trim it underneath of that. And, of course, you saw how close it was at the buzzer. Very good effort, I think, overall by this Indiana team. We'll talk more about the game coming up in the next segment with Alex Bozich, who joins us for a special chat on Monday. Also, next headline, high school basketball. It starts tonight. I hope that, and I'll be there at Floyd Central, Christian Academy at Floyd Central. Should be a good game. Floyd Central, I have high hopes for. I think they'll be one of the better teams in the area. Everybody says they lost so many seniors. How can they be good? Well, they can be good because, number one, they have Kobe Barnes back, who's a Division I basketball player. He signed last week with Indiana State. Number two, they've got a lot of seniors now. They had 7, I think, coming back as juniors from last year. They had a kid move back into the program. They had a transfer come in from Providence. Now it's 9 seniors, a senior-laden team, for this Floyd Central team. Much like last year, they still have height, they still have length, and they've got Todd Sturgeon on the sideline with that defense. They will be very, very tough to beat, and I think you've got to look at them as one of the top teams in our immediate area for the upcoming season. They also have a young player that I'm very excited to watch now in his junior year in the Hyde Breeder that I think will have a terrific high school career at Floyd Central, a great player that has done some good things in the offseason, and really this will be his opportunity to break through for Floyd Central tonight. I think he'll score a lot of playing time this season and end up being one of the key players on the Highlander roster. So Floyd Central, that's my thoughts on them. Christian Academy tonight, Steve Kerberg does a fantastic job. He's one of the great guys in Southern Indiana high school basketball. And exciting for him is this. He doesn't lose anybody off of his team this season. He already thinks they can be pretty good. He already thinks they can compete pretty deep into the 1A tournament. But imagine having that feeling about your team and knowing you don't lose anybody this year. So for them, this Floyd Central game, it's not a must-win game. I'm sure Coach Kerberg probably feels like it is today. But for him, it's a gauge to see where his team at is in this early part of the season. Because I can tell you one thing, next year, when this Christian Academy team plays Floyd Central, they'll expect to win that game. They'll expect to win that game next year. This will be a good gauge. Christian Academy with some young talent. Coach Kerberg will have a fantastic couple seasons. And they will be one of the area programs as far as small schools to really pay attention to, one of the great headlines to follow this season and next season as well. Also, as far as high school basketball goes, first off, get out to Floyd Central tonight. $5, great way to kick off the holiday week. Short work week, short week of school. This game in recent years has brought out a really good crowd because it's been fairly competitive, and it's also the only Monday night game here in the area to get the season rolling. So there's no excuse to miss this game tonight. But let's take a look at Tuesday. You've got Borden at Eastern Pekin. You've got Henryville at Silver Creek. That's a big rivalry in West Clark each year to start the season. Rock Creek is at Clarksville. Good game for both of those teams to start the local campaign as well. A handful of games involving our local teams tomorrow. Wednesday, Evansville Day, just a 1A school, but they got a 7-footer. They'll play at Jeffersonville. That's one of the local games. New Washington at Charlestown. That's a rivalry game to start the year as well. And then, of course, Thursday, Thanksgiving, Friday, there might be a couple local games, but nothing stands out. Saturday, you've got Bloomington South at New Albany. Bloomington South at New Albany. New Albany will get a very, very tough test early in the season, and that will be interesting to see who's going to score the basketball. How will New Albany play without Romeo Langford, without Sean East? You maybe wouldn't find out as much if they were opening the season with a lesser opponent. But with Bloomington South, you'll find out right away where the Bulldogs are at. Also coming up this weekend, speaking of tests, Floyd Central is at Lawrence North. They've got an interesting game tonight against a local team that I mentioned is smaller but going to be strong and going to be really good in the next couple of years. Then they go on the road to Indianapolis to play Lawrence North, who's always good in 4A basketball. That will be an interesting game as well. The coaches poll, it came out last night. Always interested to see how things shake up in the preseason. How about this? Floyd Central's number 13, New Albany's number 16, Jeffersonville's number 17. Within four spots, you've got three of our local schools, all four Class 4A schools, all four members of the Hoosier Hills Conference. You're fooling yourself if you don't think that it's worth a trip out to see some of our local games this year. We have great players. There are going to be great rivalries, and I think most of those rivalries should be very, very competitive. And if the regular season edition isn't enough, it's likely that somehow, some way, they'll match up again in March when the Class 4A sectional at Seymour is held. So going to be really fun to see how this season starts. Going to be a lot more fun to track it about the middle of the way through. And, of course, nothing is better than sectional basketball and March Madness at Seymour for the 4A sectional. We've got all of that to look forward to coming up here over the next 3 or 4 months. I'm excited, I'm sure you can tell, and hope that you'll get out to Floyd Central tonight to watch the Highlanders, and hope you'll get out Wednesday to see Jeffersonville and Saturday to see New Albany. A lot of opportunities. Tuesday, I should say, to see Silver Creek. A lot of excitement about that program as well. No reason to not get out and support your local high school team and see what the area's got. See some of these players that we've been talking about, because I know I'm sure excited to do so. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. Zach Osterman is out today, which means Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, kind enough to take his place. We'll talk with Alex today. We'll talk with him in his normal spot on Thursday as well. That's coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday show. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is kind enough to fill in today for Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, who is traveling. In our segment, our chats with Alex each week, normally on Thursday only, are presented by CC Power Sports. They have two locations serving Indiana and Kentucky. One is in Clarksville. That's the mothership store, so to speak. They carry Indian, Victory, Slingshot, Polaris, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Honda, KTM, Yamaha, Kawasaki, and Suzuki. The Louisville store right off of Interstate 65 in southern Jefferson County, they carry Kawasaki, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Yamaha, and Suzuki. New riders, welcome, and of course, racers, welcome at CC Power Sports. Alex, thanks for coming on with us. Tough loss, but a very challenging environment, a very good team led by a very good college basketball player yesterday. And I guess if you want to find a positive in a loss, there are probably a couple you could pull up. Number one is Indiana found itself down 10 points a couple times in the second half, but was able to battle back and eventually make it a one-point game in the final score. It wasn't the result we hoped for that Indiana fans wanted, but Indiana was right there at the buzzer on the road in what's a very traditionally tough road environment for their first road game of the season with a lot of freshmen and young guys on the floor.
Yeah, I thought the lack of depth, it didn't really play much of a factor in the Marquette game, but I thought yesterday it really caught up to Indiana. Justin Smith and Evan Fitzner, either one of those guys, played particularly well. So Indiana had to play Demise Anderson probably a little more than it would have liked, and obviously had Juwan Morgan in foul trouble for the entire first half. So a little bit shorthanded, and I think the pressure got to them just a little bit. You look at some of the turnover numbers. The impressive thing, kind of looking at that, Robert Fennessy didn't have a turnover, but Al Durham with 5, Romeo Langford with 4. So 9 of your, 18 turnovers coming from 2 of your starting guards. Some lazy passes. I think that when they go back and watch on film, they'll see those, and, Archie Miller and the staff will point out, hey, guys, we can't have stuff like this happening. But all in all, despite some of those problems, having a chance to go into the final possession with a chance to win, really missed 2 point-blank shots at the buzzer. That could have, well, not necessarily the buzzer, but in the last 5 seconds that could have lifted them to win. I think most coaches are going to take that opportunity anytime. I think 9 times out of 10, one of those shots goes down. Unfortunately, yesterday for Indiana, neither one of them did. And they take the loss, but I don't think this is a loss that's going to hurt them in the long term. In terms of NCAA tournament seeding, I think it's something that they can grow from and build on as the season moves along.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, our guest joining us on Monday, filling in for Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Romeo Langford, 22 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. He logged 38 minutes, just his 4th game as a college basketball player. Did have 4 turnovers and didn't shoot the ball great, but still was very, very important for IU yesterday on the road.
Yeah, he didn't shoot bad. He got to the line 9 times, made 8. That's good. Made 2 3-pointers. So if you're someone like me who's kind of into efficiency stats, kind of add in a little bonus for making the threes. His field goal percentage, at least the effective field goal percentage, wasn't bad at all. I thought a couple of times he settled for jump shots where he maybe could have driven the ball in, but he's a freshman. He's learning just like everyone else. He was really the reason Indiana had a chance to win the game down the stretch. If he doesn't come through like he did with those 22 points and 10 rebounds, they're probably losing by 10 points, maybe 15. But him and Robert Fennessy down the stretch hit some key shots. And like I said, you got 2 freshmen playing in a road environment for the first time in your backcourt. It's nothing to hang your head over taking a loss like that. But all in all, I thought Romeo played well, played 38 minutes, which is a ton for a young guy in his first road game. And this is kind of where I go back to Indiana's got to get healthy. They need Zach McRoberts and Devontae Green back sooner rather than later, because I think if just from a depth perspective, if you had those guys available yesterday, the game is just totally different. I think they had to play certain guys maybe more than they would have liked to. And it was a short bench, so there's something to be said and things to be learned from throwing guys to the fire early on in their careers. But also, you don't want to get into a situation where you're playing Romeo Langford 38 minutes every game, and it's going to be a long season. And Indiana needs to get healthy and get its depth back to what we expected it to be in the preseason.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, this segment presented by CC Power Sports. Want to talk about that depth some here, or lack thereof at the moment here in just a second, but one more point about Romeo. You mentioned this, and I had failed to, this was on my notes, I failed to bring it up when I was going through our headlines earlier in the show, But Lankford was, Romeo was, 8 of 9 from the free throw line. And I guess if you had a concern with his game, his performances so far as a freshman in college basketball, it would be that he sure hasn't shot the ball well from the free throw line. And he's the type of player that's going to get there often because he's going to have and-one opportunities. He's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. Obviously, he's going to be fouled. They're going to be playing tough defense on him each and every possession. Big, though, improvement on him to go 8 of 9 on the road down at Arkansas. That was a big part of his 22 points. That is a real, real positive, and you can see improvement there, no question about it.
Yeah, just from talking to some people, I know that he's been working a lot on his shot to kind of get it back to where it needs to be. I don't think, totally gotten it back to where, you know, he'd like it to be, but, you know, I think making free throws is going to be huge for him because I think every game he can probably get 6 or 8 points from the line if he can make his free throws. He left a lot of points at the line those first couple games by missing free throws, and you know, yesterday was a step in the right direction. But you know, the thing about Romeo is you know, we've watched him for so long and he's been so good for so long that people are going to pick apart anything he does. You know, he scores 22 and 10, and some people are going to say, well, he could have scored 25 and had 11 rebounds. It's always going to be he's always going to be scrutinized. I don't think any of the outside noise, though, gets to him. I think he's just going to continue to get better. And, I mean, just think about it, Matt. How many freshmen in Indiana history, and I'd have to go back and look this up, in their first true road game, and not was it just a road game. It was, you know, Bud Walton Arena is one of the best home court advantages in college basketball. How many freshmen go on the road in an environment like that, score 22, grab 10 rebounds, and dish out 5 assists? I'm gonna say that hasn't happened very often in Indiana history. So I think it was a great debut overall. I think Romeo, like everyone else on the team, has things to work on, can get better, and I think he'll continue to do that.
Alex, we talked some before the first game, before the scrimmage, that IU had a lot of players that either were returners that you knew, like Juwan Morgan, going to dominate a lot of time, rightfully so. Had some freshmen that would compete for playing time, like Romeo, who was expected to start right out of the gate, and he did. But also a lot of positives about Al Durham and so many players that you heard bits and pieces from or we discussed on this program in the offseason, whether it was improvements with their conditioning or with their bodies or on the court. There seemed to be a lot of players that would really challenge for minutes this year, and that can be really challenging for a basketball coach to deal with, a coach in any sport to deal with, when you've got depth and you've got players that at least at the start of the season deserve an opportunity to get out there. I don't think Coach Miller's had really any trouble finding playing time for people because of some nagging injuries with a number of players that have kept 2, 3, 4 different guys out for at least 1 or 2 games. And then, of course, Jerome Hunter out indefinitely for, it sounds like, a period of time. That depth that we talked about that could be a challenge early on to find everybody a role in some minutes, it's kind of went reverse of that. You mentioned the lack of depth on the road at Arkansas in a tight game wasn't a benefit for Indiana, and we thought it might be in those situations.
Yeah, I mean, and as a coaching staff, there's really nothing you can do about it. I mean, you play the guys that you have available on a given day, and you know, I wouldn't expect Jerome Hunter back at any time soon, if at all, this season. And McRoberts and Green, sounds like they're still a little bit ways away from returning. So, you know, Indiana's just going to have to make do with what they've got. They got 2 games at home this week that they should be able to win pretty comfortably, and then they got to go to Duke, and then they've got Northwestern and Penn State coming up. So you hope maybe when we get through this week, one of those 2 guys can find their way back just to kind of give some of the other guys a break and even up the minutes a little bit because, you know, as I mentioned, Demezi Anderson probably playing a little bit more right now than the coaching staff would like. And, you know, yesterday I think the thing that really hurt them was Justin Smith just did not play well at all. I think he was benched pretty the entire second down the stretch, didn't play at all. Missed some free throws early on, missed some opportunities at the rim that he probably should have converted on. And, you know, as one of, I guess, IU's more experienced players, if you're going to go win on the road, you got to have a guy like Justin Smith play better than what he did yesterday. all these guys, I think, will learn and improve, get better from this, and we'll see how it helps them moving forward. But yesterday, just, you know, with Dewan Morgan's foul trouble, Justin Smith and Fitzer not giving him anything really in terms from a statistical standpoint, for them to be as close as they were down the stretch was really kind of remarkable when you step back and look at it.
Alex Bozich inside the hall joining us for a special chat on Monday in place of Zach Osterman, presented by CC Power Sports. You wrote this in your on your website following the game yesterday. I mentioned this in the first segment. You kind of touched on it just now, but this game, this type of loss on the road at a tough place to play against a good team that's led by a great player, even though Indiana, and I should say Indiana's performance was solid, they were able to make some comebacks and keep it close and put themselves in an opportunity to win despite some foul problems and lack of depth and things that we've already talked about. But this game is one of those games, when you look at it, you got all kind of opportunities to grow from. There's a ton of positives that can come out of this early season lost, and I know you agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, this is you know, it's a one-point game. It's literally 50-50, could go either way. So it's not like, you know, if one of those shots goes in yesterday at the end, we're talking about this completely different. This is not a doom and gloom or anything to be too concerned with this team, the fact that they lost a tough road game early in the season. You know, I think the key is, you know, how do you learn from the mistakes that you made and how do you get better moving forward? And if that team, or if this team is able to do that, you know, I think obviously the Duke game is going to be tough, but, you know, it could pay dividends early next month when they have to go to Penn State, because it's going to be a, you know, not as obviously hostile an environment, maybe not even as good of a team, and that's the kind of game that you need to win. So, as Al Durham said post-game yesterday, you know, having something like this under your belt early can be very helpful moving forward, and we'll see how IU is able to kind of maybe use this and get better from it. But, you know, I don't, you know, it'd be one thing if they went on the road and got blown out or played horribly. You know, I think they obviously made some mistakes, have some plays that they made that they probably wish they had back. But overall, as I said earlier, nothing to hang their heads over. And I think, you know, they did a pretty good job for their first road game.
Talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. One of the things you got to love about the college basketball season is when it finally gets going, it rolls. And IU coming off the Sunday game against Arkansas, traveling back, they'll play at home twice this week, once tomorrow night hosting UT Arlington, then they'll play after Thanksgiving on Friday against UC Davis. Two warm-up games, two games for Indiana to work out some kinks that maybe they learned this past week against fairly tough competition in Marquette and Arkansas, because after that, they go on the road at Duke before opening up Big Ten play for a couple games and then taking on Louisville, in which will be a very highly anticipated game at Assembly Hall. Your thoughts, and what do you know about these two teams this week? Are they solid mid-major type programs? Are they games where Indiana should really roll? What do you know?
Well, in the preseason, UC Davis looked like a game that could be tricky, but they've already played Arkansas on the road and they lost by 23, so you figure that's going to be a game that Indiana should win. UT Arlington, not as good as UC Davis. So, you know, these games could be similar to Montana State, maybe a little bit better than what we saw for that game. But overall, you know, these are games that Indiana should win and do so comfortably. So, you know, they're probably going to be hungry to get back on the court after the loss and kind of take out maybe whatever frustration they have from that loss on UT Arlington tomorrow night, and that's what I would expect to see happen.
Alex Bozich inside the hall, joining us for a special chat on Monday in place of Zach Osterman. Stop into CC Power Sports with locations in Clarksville and Southern Jefferson County for parts, vehicle sales, and all servicing needs for street and off-road motorcycles, side-by-sides, ATVs, and personal watercraft. Alex, thank you so much for the bonus segment this week. We'll talk with you. Actually, we won't talk with you again. I'm thinking Thursday you'll be back with us. Thursday, we'll probably both be eating turkey and enjoying some time away. So thank you for the chat. Glad we were able to get you on in place of Zach, and have a great Thanksgiving.
All right, same to you, Matt. Have a good week.
All right, Alex Bozich inside the hall. I'm so wired up about all these college games and Feast Week, they call it, going on. Games, I think, start this afternoon at 2:30. High school basketball starts tonight. I forgot all about it being Thanksgiving week. We won't be here with you on Thursday, and neither will Alex. So glad we were able to catch him this week. And, of course, Zach, we appreciate him as well. Very thankful for the great guests we have that take time out each day on the show to join us. They are really the stars of the program, bringing lots of great information and insight to what we do here on the Hoosier Report. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Chad Gilbert. We'll talk the start of high school basketball in Southern Indiana, and we'll talk some other local headlines with Chad as well. A little IU about their game yesterday. We'll get his thoughts. Purdue early on, and I watched them last night for the first time. We'll cover a lot of ground with Chad Gilbert in the next segment. After this, you're listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back here for the final segment on this Monday program, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSAA Executive Board member with us here in just a moment. But first, I want to remind you that the 2019 membership overhaul at Elk Run Golf Club in Jeffersonville, it's going on right now. The best deal in the area, it's the associate membership. You get unlimited golf for just $350 annually. For more information, call the golf shop at Elk Run. That number is 812-283-9022. Again, 812-283-9022. Chad Gilbert with me. Chad, opening day of high school boys basketball games. We've only got one on the schedule, but it should be a good one with a good crowd. Christian Academy at Floyd Central tonight. And, of course, everything ramps up later this week as well. Fun, fun, fun time of year. Glad it's finally here.
Matt, like you said, it's feast week with high school basketball, college basketball, with football on Saturday. What a great week. You know, and then it's Thanksgiving on top of that. We get to eat. We get to be around our family. We get to be around our friends. An outstanding week. But talking about tonight, Christian Academy and Floyd Central, you know, you look through the polls. Floyd, Jeffersonville, New Albany, all in the preseason top 20. So it looks like there's going to be a lot of competitiveness with those teams in there, a lot of teams that are really going to be trying to turn the corner each game, each time they step on the court. You know, with it kicking off tonight, you've got Floyd tonight, Jeffersonville, Evansville Day. Thanks to the other one that comes on Wednesday, they will be an outstanding matchup. And Evansville Day, a 1A school with a 7-foot center. His dad played at University of Evansville. His dad's name was Sasha Hoopman, time I played down there. And then New Albany kicking it off with Bloomington South. Bloomington South, a little bit under the radar. I think they're going to be really, really, really good with Anthony Lille. Scott Rowland's nephew on Bloomington South as well. So there's going to be a lot of great teams. The Pirates open up with a big boy-girl doubleheader on Wednesday against New Washington. And then you think about all the local teams. The 3A is absolutely loaded. You know, Silver Creek, Bossy, Greensburg, Heritage Hills, Memorial, Southridge, Princeton. You know, look for North Harrison to be a dark horse in that thing. It's going to be a lot of great basketball and a lot of fun.
Yeah, thankfully it's finally here. All the chatter leading up to the season will subdue soon, and we'll be talking about scores and performances and previewing some of the big rivalries and matchups, and lots of fun forthcoming. Of course, it all runs concurrently with the IU season, the college basketball season. And, you know, I mentioned Feast Week. That's a great term that ESPN has coined for a big time to start college basketball. And it used to be this week, and I think really it was like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday maybe, where they just had all types of college basketball. It's kind of early feel of a March Madness time. You've got games in the afternoon. You've got games at night. You've got games in different, in Canada. You got games in Hawaii in different time zones. It's not quite as busy as obviously the March time, but it gives you a good look at a lot of games. Now this thing's extended out. I think it started last Thursday and runs all the way through this coming Sunday. So a ton of games, and like I mentioned today, there's great games out in Hawaii starting this afternoon. They'll run all the way through late tonight, which will be a lot of fun to kind of keep on in the background as you finish up the day's work. no question about it that we're getting some really good early looks at our local teams. And I'd spent a lot of time talking about IU and Arkansas and Romeo with Alex Bozich in the last segment. And I finally got an opportunity, at least for the second half, a little bit more than that, to watch Purdue. And they had a very tough one last night as well. But the college season is here too. And we've got some real interesting things with Romeo and Indiana and the Big Ten Conference maybe looking better than what people projected it to be, at least in the preseason, all unfolding right before us.
Oh, you know, it's a great week. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think I saw where ESPN said 10 days of basketball. And, you know, the Canada game I thought was really cool last night. I was falling asleep, flipping through the channels, and caught that last night. With Auburn today, Coach Pearl, you know, a little background there, opens up with Xavier today. They've got an opportunity, if they win and Duke win, to play each other tomorrow. So, you know, big-time basketball, high, high level. And I think you got to think about the Purdue and Virginia Tech game as a high-level game, and IU and Arkansas is a high-level game yesterday. The SEC is absolutely loaded. And IU, it's a tough loss on the road. You know, they missed some opportunities early on. But Arkansas is no slouch. But it goes back, you know, you hit the road holds hits back. I think some calls that didn't go IU's way helped them out. But, you know, talking about Coach Pearl, he used to always say, tips don't go. You know, at the end of the game, you got to dunk that. You got to come down strong and finish and go with it. And that's something that they'll work on. They'll work to improve, and they'll continue to get better. But Romeo continues to impress. Mock draft I saw had Romeo going number 5 in the mock draft overall, which is, you know, outstanding. But it's one of those deals where it gets you ready for Big Ten play. And the same thing with Purdue. Purdue is a talented Virginia Tech team. You know, another high-level game. Purdue gave up more points than I'm sure they want to, but Carson Edwards is a pro. Mm. They got a great grad transfer, you know, from Boudreaux, who is smart and good. And there's lots of, with both teams, interchangeable parts. You know, and this is, this time of year, you know, you want to win, but these are auditions. You know, the guys playing now, they may have a different role when conference play starts off into the season. They'll give a guys an opportunity to step up and, you know, separate themselves a little bit. But as conference goes, you win all your home games and you can win half on the road, you're going to be playing for a conference championship. And there's going to be a lot of parity and a whole lot of fun starting January.
Chad Gilbert, he's Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member for Southern Indiana. He joins us Mondays. We talk through local sports, all facets of local sports. Chad, you know, let's talk football for just a moment here. Been so engaged with all the basketball going on. We've got IU-Purdue this weekend. Purdue, I think, lost, was it double overtime? They lost to Wisconsin over the weekend. I think that's what it was. And Purdue and Indiana both need a win to become bowl eligible. So let's look at what we've got going on in this game. You've got not only a rivalry game, but it's the last season of the college football regular season games. You've got both teams needing to get into a bowl, and they need this victory to get that important, coveted 6th win of the season. And on top of that, you've got Jeff Brohm, the coach at Purdue, who likely will be Louisville's next coach. At least there's a lot of rumor that that's what's the case going to be. Maybe coaching his last game at Purdue. Rondell Moore is at Purdue. People wondering, would he transfer to Louisville? Is it worth sitting out a season to come back close to home, play for the college coach that you love? Because, you know, he's got professional aspirations and opportunities. Sitting out a year, not playing games for a year, how would that affect him? So there's all kinds of storylines, some that really matter for this season, some that really matter for this year's teams, others that are interesting to talk about, think about, opine about. But really, could it be an interesting IU-Purdue game this weekend?
Well, you hit the nail. It's a soap opera. As the world turns, Days of Our Lives, you know, there's all angles you can play on this. But it's going to be an exciting game. Purdue really struggles against the run. Now, but Purdue plays exciting football. So it'll be a good game, and you had the rivalry involved in it. And like you said, teams are playing for a bowl bid, so they're going to lay it on the line. But, you know, that Saturday is a great time for college football. You've got Auburn and Alabama. You've got Louisville, Kentucky. A lot of, you know, teams that just go at it with their final game of the year. That it's all laid on the line. So it's a good culmination of the season. It's a good time to go out and watch it. And just one more thing that'll entertain us fans.
Absolutely. Then you've got the high school football state finals. We'll have some of them live here on the Big X Sports Radio from the IHSA Network on Friday and Saturday. And, Chad, I got to say, as much as I've done around high school sports on the radio and in basketball and other things, the football finals is something I've never been to. And I think about, well, how is that possible? Well, we really haven't had anyone, am I right, since Clarksville years ago, and I was a little kid then, that made it to their state championship game, and we really haven't had anyone recently that's made it beyond the regional level. In many years, we don't have anybody like this year that makes it beyond the sectional round. So it's one of those things I've always thought, I'd love to go up there, see the state finals. They're split over Friday and Saturday. Lots of great players, lots of great teams, lots of great storylines. And I read about them, and we talk about them a little bit, but I've never seen it in first person, up close and personal. And I do think it'd be a couple fun days of high school football if that's your thing.
I'd love for you to go up with me this weekend, man. I'm excited to be up here. It's my first time to go. But I think it's going to be an exciting weekend. You think about that. Going back to the Clarksville days, the one team that's kind of out of our area but still in our conference who has had a pretty good run is the Columbus East Olympians. You know, they've had a nice run at the state finals up there for many years. But outside of that, not a whole lot. Right now, you know, something that I've not heard of is two Evansville teams will be playing. You know, Evansville Central and the 4A, they've got a first-year coach, you know, who's not his first year at Central. Troy Burgess, who you know, he's had stepped into a great situation, really made things work over there. And then you've got Evansville Memorial in the 3A, which you got our ties back to New Albany legend point guard Ronnie Combs. He has two sons, one that plays offense and defense, one that plays defense, who is outstanding. Ronnie was a guard in New Albany from 88 to 91. That, you know, Evansville Memorial team was defending state champions. Their quarterback is a Dirk Lindauer's son who pitched for Evansville Central, 18-0. They got beaten in the state finals as a pitcher. And then the one connection I have with those is that their moms are the Elkins twins who played girls basketball at USI when we were on the men's team. So a lot of connection there, a lot of fun with that one. You know, with 6A, Clash of the Titans, Carmel and Warren Central going out. You hate to hear about David Bell, but, you know, that's him going out there is an absolute stud. And I know that name hurts a lot of people's feelings when they think about it in basketball, but in football, just an absolute stud. And then with 5A, with New Pal, head coach Kyle Ralph has had them going in the right direction for, you know, several years now. So it's going to be a lot of storylines there and a lot of fun, an exciting day at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, getting ready for some big games on this holiday week. Also an IHSA Executive Board member, got some duties, it sounds like, at the football state finals this weekend. Chad, thanks for all you do. Thanks for joining us. Have a great Thanksgiving, and you know we'll talk again soon.
Matt, I appreciate the run. Awful thankful for what you do for Southern Indiana sports.
Thank you very much. Chad Gilbert, always with us on Mondays. A great representative of the area. And let's not forget, a girls' state championship coach had Jeffersonville boys basketball going in a great direction, too. And the question with Chad, and I'm glad he's off here because I'll say this now that he's off. The question with Chad is, how long will he stay away from coaching? That's the question. He's got that bug. He's always been a coach. How long will he be an administrator and not a coach? We'll see how long that lasts. But a lot of people wonder, and I think expect Chad at some point to get back in the high school basketball game here in the area. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday show. Thanks for everybody with us today. A special thanks to Alex Bozich for rearranging his schedule to join us in place of Zach Osterman on this Monday show. Don't forget, high school basketball is back. Great game tonight at Floyd Central. Christian Academy at Floyd Central. Great way to start the season. A lot of talent in that game. Make sure you make it out if you can. I know it's a Monday night. I know it's a holiday week, but make it out if you can and support some local high school basketball, not just tonight, but this week as well. And it should be a fun week of games and an early start to the season. It'll tell us a lot about what to expect here over the next couple months. That's going to wrap things up today. Don't forget, check the podcast on SoundCloud, on Apple Podcasts if you ever miss us. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.